Good morning, Jaymon G, EA Radio, and it is a Friday. Today I'm sitting with Jeff Gazzetti, and Jeff, you're a deputy director for the regions, correct?
Correct, and are the NTSB's Office of Aviation Safety.
Let's start off with the few accidents that we've had here on the grounds. We've had a couple of accidents.
We've had two aircraft accidents, as we would define them in the NTSB, that occurred at EAA Air Venture this year. Unfortunately, the first one was a minor injury. It was a Piper Tri-Pacer that witnesses described as a takeoff and departure stall fairly close to the runway. That happened, I think, 3 days ago. And then yesterday, unfortunately, we had our first and hopefully only and last fatal accident that involved a Lance Air Legacy airplane, home-built, fixed gear, two folks from Pennsylvania flying in, and during landing, kind of close into the ground, short of the runway, air traffic controllers and ground witnesses described what they considered movements consistent with an aerodynamic stall. One wing dropped, the airplane tumbled, rolled, and finally ended up inverted, probably about a 200-foot debris path, and unfortunately both people on board were killed. We launched on both of these accidents, and probably this time next year we'll be issuing probable causes on them.
Well, Jeff, you've had a little restructuring at the organization. Why don't you tell us a little bit?
We have. The NTSB's Office of Aviation Safety consists of about 120 people total. That's it. Our entire agency is only 400 people. We do marine accidents, highway accidents. But the Airedales, there's about 120 of us. Half of them are at headquarters that launch on major accidents. The other half are in our regional offices. And we used to have 10 regional offices. In a sense, we still do. But we've reconsolidated. Instead of 10 regions, we now have consolidated into 4 regions: an eastern region, a central region, a western Pacific region, and an Alaska region. And we also implemented full-time telework for a lot of our investigators, where they can work their 40 or 50 cases that they handle each year out of their homes. They're one-man or one-woman go teams, handle GA accidents, and they'll be this consolidation gives us about 15 to 18 investigators in each region, so it's a much larger rotation to launch investigators. Quality of life goes up. Standardization goes up in our report writing and our procedures, and eventually we'll be saving money by closing down some of our brick and mortar offices and going with 4 what we call super regions. And it seems to be working out well. We unveiled it this past February. We've got the technology needed to contact our investigators at home and to work through the super regional offices, and we hope to make it a success.
Well, it says, were you responsible for that?
I was. Okay. Oh, it's happening under my watch. A lot of research went into it. This is a 2 or 3 year effort to build up to this.
Well, it seems to me that if you use people that live in an area, they're familiar with the area, they know where to find, you know, if the accident has occurred at XYZ, they know exactly how to get there.
That's right.
Where they're going.
They work with the local FISDOs. They're familiar with the types of aviation that happen. I mean, let's face it. Aviation in Alaska is very different than aviation in Florida, and we need to have folks familiar with the local environment, not only to respond promptly to preserve the evidence, but to be able to talk the talk with the local aviators.
Mm-hmm. So that's working out well. When will the rollout be complete?
I envision, it's my personal hope, that 10 years from now you're going to have four offices, and that's it, and you'll probably have maybe 2/3 of our workforce working out of their homes. So it's an ongoing process, and we're doing it in phases. We got about 1/3 of our investigator workforce working at home full time now.
That's saving a lot of energy resources
and
too.
A lot of money that we can pipe back into paying salaries for more investigators to do more safety research. That's all we're about, is preventing the next accident.
Excellent. Sounds good. Okay, let's hit on the top 10 today. You've brought in the new top 10 list, the new and improved. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, our agency has a very formal, we call it the most wanted list, and 4 or 5 of them are directly related to aviation, and so I've included those, but then I kind of came up with my own additional 5 related to general aviation, what I see in terms of the heavy hitters of GA accidents. And the first, just so starting from like number 10, if you will, which is actually the number one issue for the big airlines and corporate jets, improving runway safety. Runway incursions are happening on a more frequent scale now, with two airplanes almost missing each other as they're taxiing for takeoff. And the safety board is on record. We've had forums on it. We're tracking those. We want to reduce runway incursions by getting information to the cockpit to pilots before they smack into each other. The next one is improving flight recorders. We'd like video recorders in all turbine-powered airplanes. We'd like enhanced digital flight data recorders and cockpit voice recorders and transport category airplanes. And video cameras, as you know nowadays, movie cameras are very cheap and expensive. I think they're starting to migrate into general aviation. We need these data to solve accidents and prevent the next one. The third, or the number seven issue, is human fatigue. A lot of pilots fly without getting adequate rest. That affects your decision making. It affects your ability to fly the airplane. We're seeing a lot of this in commuter airlines.
All these stand up overnight, so to speak. That
exactly.
Kind of thing, yeah.
Exactly.
If the public only knew.
If the public only knew, yeah. Just about every accident we've brought before the board formally had some element of human fatigue involved. And companies need to get a culture together to prevent that. The FAA, perhaps, we've made recommendations for them to make the rules more stringent in terms of the amount of good rest that pilots should
get. It's a very political issue.
It is. Money. Airlines make money by utilizing pilots in an efficient manner. And so... the number six one is improving crew resource management, whether it be corporate jets, Part 91 operations, Part 135 operations. Not so much. We'd like the major airlines are doing this, but we'd like crew resource management to filter down into the smaller airplanes too. Number five is aircraft icing. We'd like more research on freezing rain and large water droplets. We still find corporate jets and commuter airplanes falling out of the sky due to icing. Number four is, it's number four. EMS helicopters and airplanes. There's been a rash in the last 7 months. There's been about a dozen EMS helicopter airplane accidents killing, 30 people. And that's
what's
a lot.
What's going on there?
I don't know. We've issued recommendations. We've had issued a special investigation report 2 years ago. It seemed like the rate was going down, but now we still have EMS helicopters crashing at night in bad weather.
It's almost like a military get the mission done sense of...
I think there's a bit of that. Get the patient, save the patient at all costs, and you end up losing four lives instead of saving one. Aircraft, and the next one is amateur-built, home-built airplanes have a higher accident rate, it seems, than the normal category. That GA safety has improved steadily over the years, and except in one category, and that's the number of home-built airplane accidents. It's going up a little bit. They represent about 10% of all of GA, but in terms of numbers of airplanes, but the accidents represent about 15% of all the GA accidents. So,
what do you think that's caused by? Would it just be the
majority of them are operational?
So pilot error.
We don't use the term pilot error, but it's the failure of the pilot to do something, whether it is maintain airspeed or ensure they have adequate fuel or whatever. And that leads me into the next, the last three, if you will, fuel exhaustion. We're still seeing accidents. Most of them non-fatal, but accidents nonetheless involving pilots that don't have enough fuel for the flights that they're taking. It's an age-old problem. The number two GA accidents I see is another perennial killer. VFR pilots flying into instrument meteorological conditions, getting disoriented or smacking into the side of a mountain. They shouldn't be anywhere near bad weather, but because they're only private pilots with no instrument rating, but they tend to... Some pilots continue to fly into the bad weather.
And it isn't just inexperienced pilots either.
That's right.
I just lost a very good airline pilot friend last week up in the Pacific Northwest.
Is that right?
Control flight into terrain.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. And then lastly, and it seems like the number one hitter in terms of general aviation accidents is takeoff and landing stalls. Not maintaining airspeed while you're taking off or while you're landing, resulting in an aerodynamic stall and a crash into the ground. And people must remember, even if you lose an engine, you've got to maintain your airspeed. You've got to fly your airplane to the ground. Because once you lose controlled flight, once the airplane departs controlled flight, it's the crash worthiness, the impact angles are such that you will more than likely die because you're now in an environment where your seat belts and your seats and the airframe around you won't protect you.
J-Mon-G, EAA Radio, AM 1210, 100.7 FM, and on the web at airventure.org.